Welcome to Buckeye History Live, the podcast about Ohio State University history straight from the university archives. I'm Lindy Smith, Research Services Archivist.
And I'm Michelle Drobick, Audiovisual Archivist. We'll be your tour guides on a journey to reveal the captivating details behind the people, places, and events that make up OSU's history.
This episode is part two of a two-part series on civil rights and demands from the African American community at OSU for better representation on campus. If you haven't listened to part one, you may want to do that now. Part two of the recording will follow a reading of the demands. We, the black students of Ohio State University and members of the black community, demand the following.
That one, an additional bus be added to the evening service of the campus bus so that the waiting time will be approximately 10 minutes.
Two, 45%, $20,000, of the money that black students pay in general service student fees be submitted to a black student fund under the direction of the Minority Affairs Office.
Three, our Shoking Times receive a permanent office space in the School of Journalism building and have access to all equipment in the Journalism building.
4. Students working on Our Choking Times receive journalism credits to be given by the advisor of the paper.
5. The administration issues funds, $10,000, during the regular orientation period for a black orientation program to orientate black students under the direction of the special assistant to the Dean of Special Affairs.
6. Xerox machines, typewriters, and other office equipment be furnished to the NAACP. Room 305, office supplies, paper, ribbons, stationery, 3 file cabinets, 3 typewriters, $250 per quarter.
7. At least 6 black policemen be employed to serve the Ohio State University campus.
8. A separate office be established of black faculty and students of Afro-AM to bring 2,500 additional black students on campus by autumn quarter 1970-71.
9. Blacks be implemented in all hiring of supervisory and academic personnel at Ohio State University.
10. At least 4 blacks be seated on the Committee of Cultural Service at OSU.
11. At least 10 black dorm directors, 25 black RAs, and 10 black SPAs be hired for autumn quarter 1970-71.
12. The university establish a black cultural center in the black community of Columbus.
13. A concentrated effort and support of funds on the part of the university to enroll more black students in the fields of mathematics, pre-medicine, natural sciences, technology, business, and law be made.
14. More scholarships, fellowships, and loans be made available to black students.
15. A degree-granting department in the field of Afro-American studies be established capable of granting a BA with the potentials of expanding.
16. More jobs for black students be made available and created.
17. Fees be lowered for all in-state and out-of-state students.
18. At least 4 blacks be instated on the Committee of Disciplinary Matters at Ohio State University.
19. More blacks be hired throughout the athletic department in such capacities as trainers, groundkeepers, coaches, as well as an extensive recruiting of black athletes.
We demand a reply no later than Friday, March 13th at noon.
Good afternoon. Last Friday on this program, we began an interview on the subject of an alleged pattern of racial discrimination at Ohio State and demands to end it. The demands have been made to the university administration by a group of Negro students. On Friday's program, we covered demands that the university place Negroes in administrative, faculty, and counseling positions, and that Negro history courses and other courses related to Negro culture be added to the curriculum. Today, we continue the interview as we go on to the demand that the university take stronger action against discrimination in off-campus housing. I talked with Charles Green, a senior in sociology, and David Fears, a sophomore in fine arts. Charles explained the off-campus housing demand.
Hardly a week goes by when some student doesn't approach me, or I hear about some student that is having difficulty in getting a housing place. In 65, the NAACP did a survey on discrimination in the area, and approximately one half of the people that they surveyed practiced, as far as the NAACP could determine, they practiced discrimination. And another one quarter were undecided as to whether or not they wanted a Negro or not, and the others agreed that they would take them. Of course, action has been taken now as far as we have a civil rights law. But the problem here is, and I think it's well recognized on the campus, is one that there is discrimination on the in the campus area as well as in Columbus in general. And we're interested in now taking some very definite action, very definite steps toward elimination of this kind of discrimination.
You want the university administration to be firmer in its efforts to end this off-campus housing discrimination?
Yes, the university supposedly has a non-discriminatory policy, and we want to make sure that the university enforces this policy.
Next on the list of demands is one that is prefaced, the Negro athlete at OSU. Would you care to explain that?
The reason it's on there is because a number of athletes have voiced complaints concerning the football teams and the basketball teams as far as the way they're treated as individuals once they're on the team, and also about the recruitment policies. We know that here in Columbus, we have Columbus East High School, which is ranked as, well, which is this last year's state champion, and it's ranked number one this year. And we want to know, why is it that Ohio State cannot recruit any fine Negro athletes? You know, we feel it like UCLA and Houston, they don't seem to have any problems in getting these people. Of course, we recognize that Negroes who come in from the ghetto schools are probably going to be lacking academically, but we don't think that this is a serious problem. They may need additional academic assistance in order to stay on the team. But the thing here is the fact Ohio State does not have very many Negro athletes. I think on the basketball team, I'm not sure, I think we have one or something like this who hardly ever plays. But this seems to be really pretty ridiculous when we consider what the other teams are doing around the nation.
Foreign students is how you preface your next demand, and as I understand it, you would like foreign students to have an opportunity to be housed in Negro homes in the Columbus area. Is that right?
Yes, this is right.
They already have the opportunity, don't they?
No, not really. You see, when this is from an African student who has voiced his complaint, Beth Sarai, and he has told us that when the African students come from Africa, they are told, you see, by the what is the name of the organization?
Well, it's an organization of the International Student
International
Association.
Organization that, you know, like, they are given places where they can live. Okay. Now, Beth Sarai and some of his African friends have wondered why they have not ever been given any Negro homes to live in, you see. And they were told that there were no Negro families in Columbus which were capable enough of taking care of African students, you see, which is totally ridiculous. And it's unfair, too, because, you see, again, getting back to this education and communication thing, the Negro family should have an opportunity to share the backgrounds and the feelings of the African students when they are here in the United States.
We now are in Negro History Week, and so perhaps it is more than a coincidence that this also is on your list of demands. Am I correct in saying that you, generally speaking, want the Ohio State University as an organization to honor Negro History Week? Is the university not doing this now?
No. This year, because of pressures and because of our initiative, you see, as it was put in a certain newspaper, we have gotten the university to acknowledge National Negro History Week, you see. But from now on, you see, from the years coming, the university will have to take the initiative and will have to take this because it is a nationally recognized week. And to be more specific about it, not this Saturday, but the Saturday before, we started working on the Negro History Week, trying to get a lot of information and a lot of educational material to be placed on an exhibit, you see, in the Ohio State Union, which presented another problem. And the university, after having to be coerced, has finally given us facilities and is recognizing the National Negro History Week.
So you have space at this time in the Union for a display related to Negro History Week?
Yes. Unfortunately, Negro History Week coincides with Greek Week, you know, on the Ohio State campus, and there were not many facilities left. However, the university, realizing the urgency of this problem, made facilities available for us, and these facilities will be within the Union on the second floor. There's no room that they could give us, so they are sectioning off a part of the Leather Lounge, which is on the north wing of the camp of the Union.
Well, anyway, you this week, Negro History Week, have displays in two areas of the Ohio Union, and should someone off campus want to see them, they're welcome at any time to come in and view them.
Yes, most definitely. We have a bulletin board and a glass casing downstairs near the West Ballroom alcove, and upstairs we have a more complete exhibit of books and black art, present black art and past black art, and many historical records and pamphlets, which could be very enlightening to anybody.
I think we're now at the last demand on your list, and this has to do with having more Negro cultural events and entertainments at Ohio State. Charles, you obviously feel there haven't been enough.
Yes, we've had quite a lot of complaints from various individuals about activities, say at Mershon, where we would bring in performers. And the Negroes here, we feel that we have not had very many Negro performers coming in, say, to the cultural activities at Mershon or around the campus, too. And then, of course, one small item, you might say, was just over at the Music Lounge in the Ohio Union. They have something like 93 hours allotted for classical music, but they only have 4 hours allotted for jazz. This was one complaint that an individual had voiced.
Actually, it's 2 hours for jazz and 2 hours for folk music, you see. And the music thing is not really our main problem, you see. Although, again, we feel, as black people, that we have, in a way, been discriminated against, you see, because, like, it in no way is a loss for Mershon Auditorium to bring in any Negro entertainment, because not only would it draw the black populace, you see, of the campus and of the city, you see, but it would draw a great number of white students, you see.
This list of demands that you've completed describing on this program, the list that you began describing last Friday, was presented by you first to Student Relations Dean Bonner at a lengthy meeting, and he in turn passed some of them on to Dr. Corbelly. Dr. Corbelly is OSU Vice President for Academic Affairs and Provost of the University. 15 students met with Dr. Corbelly. This was last Wednesday morning. You met for 3 hours and again explained your demands. At the end of the meeting, Dr. Corbelly announced that he would take action. And you correct me if I'm wrong, but this is what I understood him to say he would do. He would begin immediately to institute action to have Negro history courses added to the curriculum. He would arrange a mass meeting between representatives of the administration and faculty and Negro students so that the students could express their grievances, as it were, face-to-face rather than going through a myriad of channels, etc. He would call the director of the Ohio Union to arrange space for a Negro History Week display, and as you've already indicated, this apparently was done. And four, he would take action to ensure that the administrators affected by each of your demands was working on them, and that you would be informed as to what was being done and what was not being done. In fact, the given students working on a given demand would be consulted by the proper administrator on that demand. In other words, someone in the administration who was trying to set up Negro history courses would talk to the black student interested or knowledgeable about Negro history courses. Okay, am I right so far?
Yes, this is correct.
The question then is, are you satisfied? Where do you go from here?
No, we are not satisfied because, as you see, this is only the beginning. We have voiced our grievances, we have made our demands, and we have met with some of the administration. We will not be satisfied, naturally, until everything on this list has been acted upon and has been put into action.
This has been taking considerable time of yours and the other students who are acting in a way as leaders. I know you tend to resent that term because you have not formed any formal organization and you have no set leaders, but nevertheless, I would estimate that 12 to 15 of you are doing considerable work on this. And I'm wondering, are you doing this solely for the black students at Ohio State at this time? Is this just to redress your own personal grievances?
No, I don't think so. I think a lot of it has to do with the pressure that we feel as black people in our society to finally get up off of our behinds and start becoming active and trying to help our people, no matter whether they're wealthy or poor or whatever they are, to bring themselves up and to be able to get a fair deal in our society. The thing here is that we don't think that the Negro in this country is or has ever been in an equal or a fair, just position. And we don't think that we have our rights, if you might say it. If we have them, I mean, they've been denied to us. And I think we feel the urgency of the matter is that we want to get together now to forever tear down all these barriers and these kinds of things that would keep black people or any other people from enjoying their full rights as citizens. And we know it's not going to come easy. I mean, it's going to be a struggle. But we feel that those people who have gone on before us, we feel like those people like Medgar Evers, those people like Emmett Till, those people who are students who have marched to integrate all of these schools, we feel that these people have laid the way for us, and now it is time for us to continue the struggle that they began before. And we feel this is our job.
Have a question for us?
You can find us at go.osu.edu/archives, facebook.com/OhioStateArchives, or at Buckeye History on Twitter.
And we may answer your question on an upcoming episode. Until next time,
go Bucks!